four children.
For the majlis that we have today for the deceased who has passed away, was a lover of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins, to accept his actions and deeds, and to give him a place in the neighborhood of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Jana, for him, please recite a Surah Fatiha, and for Zuhra, Bukhari also. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ اللَّعِينِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهُ والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. صلوات على محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject we are discussing is the seerat, the life of the Prophet of Allah. And the reason is obvious. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in the life of the Messenger of Allah is the best example for you. The best example for you is in the life of the Prophet. Whether he was sitting, whether he was standing, whether he was walking, whether he was standing, whether he was sleeping, whether he was awake, whether he was in home or whether he was in the masjid, the life of the Messenger without any condition is the best example for you. If you want to seek the pleasure of Allah, if you want to seek shaitan's pleasure, then look for other examples. Look for other examples. But if you want to seek the pleasure of Allah, if you want Allah on your side, then the best example in your life is the life of the Prophet. And so obviously it is incumbent on every Muslim to know the life of the Prophet so that it can be an example for him. If you don't even know the life of the Prophet, then you won't know what the example is. You won't know what the sunnah is. You won't know what the role model is for you to be a Muslim. And hence when we look at it, we see, my friend, understand this. Just one point and then inshallah I will go on. You see, my friends, when you read a book, any book, when you read any book, you will see that the understanding of that book depends on your own intelligence. I can give a book to every one of you and ask you to read it, and you will see that every one of you will have a different angle in understanding what that book is and what it says.
Yes, it's true.
Right? This is with any book. No matter how good the book is, no matter how well it's written, no matter how deep it is and no matter how simple it is. When you read a book, everyone, the understanding of the book depends on your own intelligence and your own understanding. And hence everyone will have their own understanding. But this is the reason that Allah wanted to give the message, but if He had just given the message in the shape of a book, then everyone would have a different understanding of what the book is saying. Everyone have a different. I mean, I will read an ayat and I'll say, well, this is what it means, and you will say, no, that's what it means. Right? And then there won't be one Islam, there will be over 1 billion Islam.
That's like Christianity.
Right? Everyone will have their own opinion. That's why Allah gave the message in the form of a book, not only in a form of a book, but He also gave it in a form of a person, which is the Messenger of Allah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He gave it in that form so that your opinion shouldn't lead you astray from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can go back and see what the Prophet of Allah did and what he said on what he stood for and understand that this is what Allah means in the Quran.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If my actions are not a proof that this is Islam, if I as a Muslim act in a certain way, you can't say, well, because he is acting in that way, so it means that this is in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of our actions go against what the Quran is standing for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Most of our actions do go against what it's standing for. Now you see that. But when we look at the example, when Allah says that the Prophet is the best example for you, it means that the life of the Prophet is what Allah meant in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what the Quran is? Look at the example of the Prophet. And if you want to see the example of the Prophet, you have already known the Quran.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now my friends, from here, we have been discussing the seerat of the Prophet for this one last year. Right, we are in the second year right now, and obviously we have reached the part where the Prophet now declares his prophethood.
Mm.
And if reaching here took 1 year, where you know the history books are not so much in detail regarding the history of the Prophet before he announced his prophethood. Most of the history is written after his announcement.
Yeah.
He was documented after he announced his prophethood, and hence, you see, most of the history is there. So obviously for us to go till the end will take a few years. But this will be something that when we are understanding his seerat, then you will know very well that it is something that has been documented by the grace of Allah.
Yeah.
By His grace, it has been documented in such a way that we can go back and see what is happening. Now last week I had mentioned that the Prophet, while in the cave of Hira, he used to go there often and meditate there and wait for the time when the revelation will come. When the day came, which is, again, as I said, because of the anniversary of that day, it came on the 21st of March, which was at that year the 27th of Rajab. The day which is Nowruz, which is tomorrow, was the day that the revelation, the first revelation, came to the Prophet. And when it came, obviously you heard last week, and I won't go into detail, but just to go into one subject regarding this, as I mentioned. When the angels came, many angels came, it wasn't just Jibreel, but thousands and thousands of angels came in rank. And these angels were waiting for many years for this opportunity to go and visit the Prophet.
Ya Allah.
They're waiting for this day to come. And when the day came, Allah announced to them, now is the time for you to descend to the earth, because the crown of prophethood is being given. And the angels came, groups upon groups of angels, they came and they stood in ranks. Mikael came with 70,000 angels, Jibrail came with 70,000 angels. And after sitting the Prophet on the throne and putting a crown of prophethood on his head, Jibrail came forward and recited the first ayat. And as you know, and I will mention this later also, that he came, and whenever Jibrail used to come to the Prophet, he used to come to him like a servant. And he would sit before him like a servant. And he would wait until the Prophet allows him to speak so that he can speak. And then when he came there, so now he brought the first ayat and said, Ya Rasulallah, addressed him by saying, Ya Rasulallah, the first ayat Allah has revealed to you. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. The first five ayat of Surah Iqra were revealed. The doors of revelation had been opened. And the Prophet, with the burden of prophethood now on his shoulders, stood up and started to walk out so that he can fulfill this obligation. You see, my friends, understand the character of the Prophet. Not a minute did he waste in lavishing the moment that this seat or position has been given to him. You see, the fact is that if, for example, you see that if you make someone the president of a country, the first thing they have is a party. You see that, you know? Once anyone becomes elected in the office, the first thing they have is a party to celebrate what they got. Right? The inauguration party or whatever party it is. And they want to make it lavish so that it could be remembered. My friend, understand this. When the Prophet was given prophethood, not a minute did he waste with Jibrail or anyone to say that, you know what? You know, I just got, for example, I got the prophethood, and hence now it's time to enjoy a little bit, I deserve it, and all these things. You know, it does happen, my friend, understand this character. At the minute that he got the message, prophethood, right away he stood up and started walking out. And it was at that moment Jibrail came and gave him the liwa'ul ham, the flag of Islam. He says, this is the flag of Islam for you. Allah has given it to you, and it's going to come back to Allah on the day of judgment in your hands. Right? Those who believed in the Prophet and obeyed him on the day of judgment, he will take the same flag and he will walk back from the day of resurrection, where everyone will be gathered. He will walk with those who believed in him to the gates of heaven with this flag. And they will follow this flag. So if you don't know this flag, then you wouldn't know which flag to follow on the day of judgment.
Ya Allah.
You wouldn't know which flag to follow, right? Because, you know, a lot of flags will be going here and there, and you want to make sure that you've been there. I don't know if you've ever been to Hajj. If you've been to Hajj, you'll know this, right? If you go on the ground of Arafat or Mina, you will see that every group has its own flag. Right? And you know what? If you don't know the flag of your group, you're going to get lost. Right? You're going to get lost if you don't know the flag of your group. So you need to know first the flag of your group, and then see where it is and be with it, wherever it goes. Right? This is, my friends, that when the Prophet left, he went and he walked back. Obviously, those people, you know, I mean, those things that say that, you know, that he was so scared that he ran.
Allahumma lan karumah.
Ran to his wife. this and that. Oh, no, my friends, that all did not happen. Right? There was no drama like that such. And he walked to the house of Khadija, his wife, went inside the house. On the way, his face was so radiant with the post of prophethood. It was so radiant that everything on the way, the trees, the branches, the flowers, the ants, the insects, the rocks, everything was addressing him saying, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he walked. And he went to the house of his wife. His wife looked at him. Because it has been months that he has been in the cave, she knew he would be tired. So when she saw him, she saw that his face was radiant. His face was radiant. And she says, "What is this light on your face?" And he says that Allah has given me the burden of prophethood. And this is the life, this is the light of that mission that the Prophet has given me. And he said, do you accept it, my wife Khadija? Do you accept, and do you say, and do you believe that there is no God but Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah? She looked at him and said, all my life I believed in that. Today I'm going to say it with my tongue.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We went through that history, right? That she married him knowing that he's going to be a prophet. Right? And now when he went and laid down in the bed, he laid down in the bed, you know, and this lying on the bed, my friends, understand this, you know, the Prophet is not someone who does things with his own opinions. Allah now makes it clear, and I want you to see it in his example. Allah says, "Ma yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wa yunyuha." He does not speak of his opinion. Whatever he says is a revelation that has been revealed to him. It has been revealed to him. That's what he says. Nothing he says that is out of revelation. Nothing that he does is out of revelation. Meaning it is revealed by Allah. Now my friends, understand this. When the first ayat were revealed, Allah, what did Allah say to him? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi qalaq. Read in Allah's name. One who has been created from a blood of, you know, a clot of blood. Read in his name, and Allah is generous. And he'll let you know what you do not know. Now you see this. When he got this message, you see, now he's acting on Allah's orders. Now his job is not to go out and say anything. You see, that's why when he came with the burden and went straight to bed. He went straight to bed. You know, for example, friends, here's, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, let's say we have an election. You know, God forbid. But let's say we have it. Right? And one of you becomes the president. Right? One of you becomes the president. Now, for example, obviously, election, who appointed you? The people. So now when you become the president, the first thing you start to do is establish your authority. And right away you start to do what you want. Right? But the issue is that, hey listen, it's the people who made you. Listen to them. Right? See, that's what's wrong with this, right? The reason is because, you see, if the people, if I had appointed you as president, then all you need to do is just listen to me and do what I say. But when the people appoint you, now the problem is everyone has a different opinion. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Everyone has a different opinion. They're going to say, hey, listen, you do this or you do that. And hence, anyone elected will have to take polls and see what needs to be done. So the issue is that he establishes authority right away. Allah gave prophethood to the Prophet. But you see, the message Allah gave to him at first did not include any sort of propagation or any sort of tabligh. That's why when he got the message, he went straight to bed. And his wife brought a blanket for him. When his wife brought a blanket for him, then Allah revealed the second set of verses. Says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, O you who's wrapped in your clothes, Qum fa'andhir, stand up so that you may warn. Stand up so that you may warn. وَرَبِّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and for Allah, for your Rabb, say Allahu Akbar. Now you see the command that Allah has given, and you see the Prophet exclaiming and practicing the command of Allah without any deviation or without any addition. When Allah says this, He says, Qum, stand up. And then He says, stand up for what? My friends, the first thing in this one ayat, Qum fa anzir, Allah has given the basis of every revolution.
Yes.
The basis for every revolution. You want to stand up for, you want to stand up, but Allah says, listen, standing up is not what Allah wants. Standing up for a cause is what Allah wants. Allah doesn't say stand up. Okay, stand up. But for what? For anzir, so that you may warn the people. So right at the beginning, He gives the reason for why you should stand. Qum fa'anzir, stand up so that you may warn. So the goal of you standing up is so that you may warn the people. You may warn the people. Allah started the message of Islam with a warning, not with good news. He started off with a warning. My friends, anyone who starts a new masjid, or a new center, or a new club, their goal is to make more members. That's their goal, right? Make more members. Otherwise, you start something, you only have 5 people there. What are you going to do? Your goal is to make more members. In order to make more members, you better be nice to the people. Right? Now, for example, you want to invite them, you need to make biryani. If you're going to serve them tea and cookies, right, they'll come one time, 2 times, the next time they'll be gone. They'll be gone. Why? Because you're not serving them. Issue is that the goal is to create membership, to make more members, to make it easy for people to become members, to make it nice to them. So obviously, worldly logic says that he should have been giving good news. That Allah should have said, stand up and give good news to those who are around you that they will go to heaven. And then describe to them all the things in heaven. You know, I mean, that's an encouragement for people. Huruleen, I want one too. See, the issue that happens is that you need to be, you know, like when you are, for example, there, this is the encouragement. But you see, Allah starts off the message of Islam and says, no good news for anyone. He says, فَأَنْزَرْ, warn the people. Warn them that if you are going to stay the way you are, you're going to go to hell. My friends, why? I alluded to this last week, but understand this. Why is that? The reason, my friends, is because that when the society is mostly evil, and evil is prevalent in the society, then you don't give good news to such a society.
USA.
You have to first what? You have to first warn them and rectify the situation. When the people rectify themselves, then you give good news to them. That yes, now you deserve good news, that because you have improved yourself and changed your life, now we give the good news that you go to heaven. Right? You don't start out by saying, oh, we're getting good news to you. We need more members here. No, Allah doesn't need more members in Islam. In fact, if no one becomes a member, it doesn't matter. Heaven is still there. And he's not going to lose it. Heaven is still there, you know?
Hell is full.
And if everyone wants to go to hell, if everyone wants to go to hell, don't worry. Hell has enough room. Hell has enough room for everyone. Don't worry. Right? Neither. Allah is not concerned about it. Don't you see? See, the religion of truth is never concerned of what the people think of it. The religion of truth doesn't run by polls and public opinion. The religion of Allah runs by His will and His authority. What I say, what you say, if you all leave it, what do you think? Allah is going to fret over it and sweat? It doesn't happen, my friend. Understand this. This is the reason why He says, "Qum fa'anzir," go and warn the people. Allah, no one knows me. Imagine what the Prophet is facing there. No one knows me. Who's going to listen to me? If I say this, who's going to listen to me? No one even knows me. Right? No one, I mean, who's going to be on my side? What's going to happen? He says, Qum fa'anzir. My seem and understand. When this ayat comes, right away the Prophet stands up. Doesn't even waste a moment. Right away he jumps to his feet. And when the next ayat comes, Wa rabbika fakabbir. And for your Rabb, say Allahu Akbar. So now Prophet, two times he says Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
And Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Said that when the Prophet announced this, this was heard by everything in this universe. Allah made this voice reach everything in this universe. It's not hard to understand. Yeah, I told you before many times, put things together and you will know it yourself. Alright? Remember the time when He told Ibrahim, Ibrahim, Azzin fin nas li hajj. So Ibrahim, go and announce the invitation of Hajj to the people. Ibrahim looked around in the desert. I don't see anyone here. Ya Allah, whom am I going to announce to? Right? But you know what? He announced it. He announced it. Allah says, don't worry, I will make it reach. I will make it reach. You make the announcement, I will make it reach. And you see, everyone will come to the house on foot, on camel bags, on every sort of ride. You'll see they'll be coming. You see, this is Allah's promise. So the issue is that Ibrahim announces, it's Allah's job to call the people. Here He says to the Prophet, Fakabbir, say Allahu Akbar. And when He said Allahu Akbar, then this Allahu Akbar was heard by everything. My friends, everything, not everyone. Everything. Meaning right at the outset of prophethood, everything, non-living things, everything that was there, other than insan, had the chance to accept Islam right away. Meaning that was the moment for them to accept Allah and to accept His Tawheed. When He said Allahu Akbar, then everyone, everything accepted it and said Labbaik. They accepted it. They said, we accept it. And everything became Muslim right then.
Yeah.
I mean, understand this. Everything in Allah, see, everything in this universe, and I'm explaining this a little bit in detail so you know this. Everything in the universe is already Muslim. It has submitted to Allah's will. Allah says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth is doing the tasbih and glorification of Allah. Everything in the heavens and the earth, everything is already a Muslim. We say that every child is born a Muslim. When he's born a Muslim. My friend, understand this. Every child is born a Muslim. But then, when he becomes an adult, now he has to choose Islam. You see, it's one thing, for example, when he's born, you go and say azan and iqama in his ears. You say that, he's a Muslim. You announce to everyone, and to him also, listen, you're a Muslim. You're born a Muslim. Right? But when he becomes baligh, when he becomes an adult, now he has to say the same shahadat of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah by his own choice. You see, if he doesn't say that, then you know what? He hasn't accepted Islam yet. He has to say it his own self. He has to say that I believe in Allah. I believe in the Prophet. Not that I was born a Muslim. I was born a Muslim, but I don't listen to anything Allah or the Prophet says. But I'm still a Muslim. Now, issue that everyone needs to do that. My friends, understand this. Just like when you're born, right? You are a Muslim, but you attest your Islam when you're baligh. The world had matured in the time of the Prophet, that it was Muslim before that. But when the Prophet said Allahu Akbar, they had to attest to that Islam. They attested to that Islam, and then that's how you know that this universe, this world and everything in it is submitted to Allah's will. It's submitted to Allah's will. And then when he announced that, my friends, here, just a little bit, I will explain about this whole revelation, because this must be clear for us. And I'll explain if you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, revelation or wahi, you know, we get wahi and revelation. Wahi and revelation. Send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When you get wahi, right, when you get revelation, what does this mean? Because we just heard that the Prophet received revelation. Now I want you to understand on this basis of the Prophet that he himself has said, Kuntu nabiyan wa adamu bainal ma'awateen. I was a prophet when Adam was between water and clay. So he was a prophet, we know that. So what is this revelation? What happened in the cave of Hira? What happened there? Just in a little while I want to explain this so you know. What happened if he was a prophet, then what, how did he converse with Allah? So now here, I just want you to understand this. In the Quran, we see that the word wahi is used in many places. In many places, the word wahi and revelation is used. For example, Allah, he speaks about the earth. And he says in Surah Al-Zilzal, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. That the earth will bring out its news. Why? Because Allah has revealed to it, has sent revelation to it. Why? So the earth receives revelation. The earth, here Allah says, receives revelation. Then he speaks about the bee. He says, وَإِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ وَإِذْ أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَىٰ النَّهَلِ. That Allah has sent a revelation to the bee. He sent a revelation to the bee. Wahi to the bee. To do what? To go to every flower and eat it. And make honey out of it. And then he says that Allah has made a cure in that honey. You see that? Allah has revealed to the bee also. Then he says to the mother of Musa, when Musa asked him for dua, and Allah reminds him, listen, I have been very good to you before this. Right? And then he reminds him, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ. When we reveal to your mother, we reveal to her so that she may come to you. We were good to you. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So wahi, what does this mean? And then we say he, like for example, sent wahi to the angels. He sent wahi to the messenger. So what is this wahi, my friends? Understand this in this case, because wahi has different meanings. In the case of the prophet and prophets, when Allah sends wahi and revelation, it means it's an indication, an ishara, a signal. Whenever Allah wants to give an indication to the prophets regarding the guidance of mankind, it's called wahi. It's called wahi. And wahi comes in different shapes. Comes in different shapes and forms. And the problem is that we think it only comes in one shape. Meaning, Jibreel brings it and that's wahi. This is the problem we had. For example, there are five ways, my friends, there are five ways that revelation is given. Five ways that revelation is given to a prophet. And there are five ways that it was given to our messenger also. Five ways. The first way that revelation is given is when the message that Allah wants to send is put in the heart of the prophet.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
When it's given to the heart of the Prophet, this is known as ilham. Ilham is when the message is directly given in the heart. It's placed in the heart. It's called ilham. Allah says, "Alhamaha fujurha wa taqwaha," and we give him inspired in the heart, good and evil. Right. So this is the first way that a message is given to a prophet. The second way it comes is that when the message comes in the form of a dream. It comes in the form of a dream. You see what's happened? When like for example, Ibrahim had a dream about slaughtering Ismail, his son. So Allah gave the message in the form of a dream. Now, if dream was not revelation, then why did he do it? If the dream was not proof for him, if it's not revelation, then to go ahead and try to slaughter his son is homicide. Right? Because it was a revelation from Allah, that's why he did it. You see, that's why he did it, right? The same thing you see in terms of the prophet also. He had this revelation when Makkah was conquered. In the story of Fateh Makkah, if you remember this, you remember that at that time, when Makkah was conquered, he saw a dream. He saw a dream that he was making rounds of the Kaaba, and based on that dream, he took the Muslims and went, and Hudaybiyah happened. You remember that? Story. Right? We went through that. And then Allah, after Makkah was conquered, then Allah revealed the ayat to him and said that we have fulfilled your dream that you had. We have fulfilled your dream that you had. So it means that he had a dream, acted upon the dream, and then Allah fulfilled it for him. This was a revelation. Jibreel was not involved in this. Jibreel was not involved in this. Right? And then you see, the third way in which the revelation comes is when it comes in the form of an angel who comes to the prophet in the shape of an angel. Meaning when the angel comes as an angel. This is a revelation that everyone knows about. When Jibreel came to the prophet. He came to the prophet, they know that this is one type of revelation. The fourth type of revelation is when the angel comes, but he comes in the shape of a human. Angel comes, he comes in the shape of a human. You know, like for example, when the angels came to warn Prophet Lut, right, to ask him to leave the town. When they came there, you see, they came in the form of men. Right? They came in the form of men. And hence, you see, the same thing happened with our Prophet also. Certain revelations he received when angels came in the form of humans. When Jibreel used to come, sometimes he used to come as Jibreel, sometimes he used to come in the shape of a human also. And one of the shape that he used to take, the form that he used to emulate, was by a person, a companion of the Prophet, by the name of Wahiyat Qalbi. This person, Wahiyat Qalbi, was a close companion of the Prophet. And he used to, like for example, when Jibreel used to come, he used to take his form. It so happened that one time, when Imam Ali alayhi salam walked,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
when he walked into the room of the Prophet, he saw that the Prophet was sleeping on the lap of Wahiyat Qalbi. So when Wahiyat Qalbi saw him, he addressed him and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is your job, you should do this. That his head should belong on your lap. So he moved out and he gave it. And Imam Ali, he put his feet under the head of the Prophet so he can get rest. And then Wahiyat Qalbi said that now you have taken responsibility, I will leave. And he left. The Prophet, when he woke up, he said, you know, what happened, Ali? So Ali said, I came in, Wahiyat Qalbi was here. And then then after I came in, he gave you to me and he left. Then at that time the Prophet told Imam Ali that was Jibreel who would come in the shape of Wahiyat Qalbi sometimes. Right? And he was here and I was resting in his lap, and now that you are here, he left you and he called you by the title that Allah has made exclusive for you, Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, and hence, you know, from there we go to the last way the wahi comes. And my friends, I'm explaining these things to you so you understand this, what I want to say at the end, which is the conclusion. The last way which a revelation is revealed, my friends, understand this. The last way is that it comes directly on the Prophet. It comes directly on the Prophet without Jibreel, without anyone in between. The revelation sometimes is revealed directly on the Prophet. It happened with Musa before, and it happened with our Prophet also. And let me explain to you where it happens, so this confusion that is there about revelation will be removed from your minds. Right? My friend, understand this. What is known amongst all the Muslims is that when revelation used to come, then the Prophet would shake, he would perspire. When Jibreel would come, he would be shaking and perspiring. The sight of Jibreel. Then, when the revelation comes, it will be so heavy for him that he will swoon and he would go into pass out. A person came to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he asked him, Imam, tell me, you know, when the revelation used to come to the Prophet, when Jibreel used to come with the revelation to the Prophet, you know, we know that he used to shake and he used to sweat and perspire and this and that. Why is that? You know, Jibreel used to come with the message and he used to give the burden of the message to the Prophet, and the Prophet, under the weight of the message, would buckle and, you know, swoon. Why is that? Imam said, that is wrong. And this is where he said that Jibreel was a servant of Muhammad. Jibreel is a servant of the Prophet. Why would the Prophet act like that in front of his servant? Right? Jibreel used to come, he used to sit like a servant, and he would not speak until the Prophet said so. Does Jibreel now say what you have to say, and then he would say it? Right? And then, why is it that, for example, it was witnessed by people that he would sweat and perspire and he would swoon under the weight of the message? Then the Imam cleared it for us and said, listen, that wasn't when Jibreel used to bring the revelation. That was when Allah revealed Wahi to him directly. When Allah revealed Wahi to him directly without Jibreel in between there, then the pressure of that Wahi and revelation would make him perspire and make him swoon under that burden that he is getting from Allah. Because every Wahi was a responsibility. It wasn't something that, okay, you just say it. No, my friend, it's a responsibility. And hence you see, before the Prophet announced his prophethood, before Jibreel came to him, Allah used to send revelations to him, but not through Jibreel, but on his heart, and he used to reveal it directly to him. This incident of Ghar-e Hira was the initiation of revelation through Jibreel. This is a revelation through Jibreel. Before that there was revelation, after that there was revelation. And in during that there was revelation. But this was when he was Jibreel, when he started giving the revelation. This is when it started in Ghar-e Hira. So yeah, you understand this, my friends. Here, when we look at this, then we'll understand the revelation that came to him. This revelation that came directly to him was the thing that used to put weight on him and burden on him. My friends, Wahi itself, the Prophet himself said, and this ayat is very misunderstood. He says, Ana bashirun mislukum. Right? I am a man like you. La yuha ilayya. Except that Allah sends revelation to me. And many people, based on this ayah, they say, oh, the Prophet is just like us.
Never.
The Prophet is just like us.
Never.
The only difference is that he has revelations.
Never.
We don't have revelation. Well, my friends, hear this thing, right? And, you know, maybe I've explained this before, but for everyone to understand clearly. Yes, the Prophet is a man like us, except that he has revelation. Right? You see, what's the difference between other animals and insan? Dogs and pigs and, you know, all these other animals. Insan. What makes them different? Aql. Man has aql, other animals don't. My friends, just like insan tells to the other animals, I am an animal like you, but I have aql. Mm-hmm. It's the same way the Prophet is telling us that I am a man like you, but I have wahi.
The Prophet got sense.
So the same difference between us and the animals is the difference between the Prophet and us. This is the Prophet. So now when he says yuha ilayya, it means, my friends, he had the capacity of revelation. We don't. That's why Allah chose him, not us. If he had the capacity, we just heard the ayat of the Quran. How many ayat do we even practice? How many ayat do we even practice? Allah revealed these ayat to him. Now it became the life of the Prophet. We are not deserving of revelation. We don't have the capacity of it. None of us. Right? That's why he is a Prophet, we are not. And the sooner we understand that, the better Muslims will become.
Yes.
The sooner we understand that, the more humble we'll become before Allah. Right? This is what we need to do. Understand that. Because those Allah who He had given to those people who had the capacity to take. Allah gives us $1 million and we walk around as if there is no Allah. Allah gives them the universe and they still make sajda to Allah.
Ya Allah.
This is the difference. This is the difference between us and them, my friends. And that's the reason why when we look at them, they are the examples for us. Look at that, they are the examples for us. This is why when you see their life, you saw that when they got everything, they still made sajda to Allah. When they gave away everything, they still made sajda to Allah. Allah gave them wilayat and authority. But when they got it, they were making sajda. Right? And when he was taking away in Karbala, they were still making sajda.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah.
You see that? They were still making sajda. This shows that their goal and focus was Allah. When Allah gives us something, we turn away. When He takes it away from us, we are complaining. Why us? Why me? Why is it happening to me? Understand this, my friends. This is difference in character. It's difference in character, difference in personality, difference in faith. And this is why we see today that as we now remember that when he takes, still we need to submit to his will. And you see the difference of him giving and taking. When he gave to Ahlul Bayt, he didn't call them nafs-e-mutmain. It was when he was taking away from them, then he says that they are mutmain.
Ya Allah.
They are satisfied with Allah. They are satisfied when he's taking it away from them. And how did he take it away from them? That also he gives the example. You know, it wasn't easy, but my friends, when it was being taken away, then you see that if you have a son like Ali Akbar, he also has to be given. If you have a son like Ali Asghar, he also has to be given. If you have a daughter like Sakina, you have to see her taken in chains.
Ya Allah.
My friends, when Allah took, he took it and showed it as an example. That when he was taken, you see, Hussein's iman did not change, Hussein's attitude did not change. When you looked at Hussein, you see that he was the same way.
Yes.
He was the same way as he was when he had his family. You see, that more so he was making sajda to Allah and saying, Hamid ibn Muslim says that when everything was done and Hussein was on the ground and they were about to slaughter him.
Ya Allah.
And no one was left now. He has nothing to live for. He has nothing to live for. And Hamid ibn Muslim says that I went close to him to see what is Hussein saying. I mean, at that moment when you have given up everything, what is in your mind? What are you saying to Allah? What is happening in your heart? When he went close to him and he heard Hussein say this, he says, I heard Hussein in sajda saying, Ridan bi khada'ik wa tasliman li amrik. O Allah, I am happy with what you have done with me.
Ya Hussein, Ya.